Always feel like the gates just open and here we go. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3, brothers and sisters, we're moving on. Oh, hallelujah. And Ephesians 3 is going to bring us to this confirmation, affirmation. There's no deliberation. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, the prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ. And for us, and for us saved, us saved Gentiles. That'll be a theme over the next couple weeks, if the Lord tarry. But what's going to be understood here, and what has been understood from the very beginning, this letter to the Ephesians was not written to the world. This was not written to the world. It was not. It says in the very first verse of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, all right, of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus. To the saints. This wasn't even a letter to Ephesus. This was a letter to the saints at Ephesus. And as far as I know about the Word of God, to be a saint, you need to be a Christian. Amen? Amen. So this letter is to Christians. This letter is to them that are saved. Praise the Lord. And so in that, this is for the saints, but as we'll continue to grow in this masterpiece of grace study, this is for the saints to grow up fully. This letter is for full growth. This letter is for completion and perfection. This letter, as the Word of God brings forth, is to bring forth the wife for the Lamb of God. Amen. Now, specifically, as is laid out here, this will be for the Gentile saints or the saints at Ephesus. Let's go ahead and read the first 8 verses together. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And again, this letter is to the saints at Ephesus. So now he's addressing the saints at Ephesus as what? You Gentiles. Not the world. Not indeed just somebody that's not a Jew. This again is not changing who this text is to. This letter is for the saints at Ephesus. Paul calls these saints at this point, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Amen. Just putting this really in context. So, and this is important. We have to know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. Thank the Lord. Let the Holy Ghost just bring it forth. Understand, this is ours and this is our full inheritance. Praise God. If ye have heard, look at that. And these are the saints. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Huh? Come on. Amen. Get excited. Which is given me, Paul says, given to me, to you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So this was given to Paul by revelation. Amen. He was the chosen vessel unto God. On that road to Damascus, he was going to kill Christians. Amen. What was given to Paul, and you just read, the dispensation of the grace of God. We're going to get into that in a minute, and how magnificent and how ultimate that dispensation of the grace of God that was given to Paul for us is, and is to us. But he was on that mission to kill, to destroy the word of God and the preaching of it. The Lord knew from ages past that man Saul is my perfect one that I'm going to choose to magnify my grace in the heights and bring forth and be the absolute administrator of the grace and the ultimate of the grace of God that I will bring forth at that time. So Paul was revealed this from and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was by revelation to him. All right? So that's how Paul received this. Okay. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read. So you need to read this. You need to study this. Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, again. This was something that was not made known unto the sons of men. This wasn't known. This was not even understood or revealed until it was given to Paul by revelation. That's it. He was number one to receive this. And then when he received it through preaching and teaching, and those that followed Paul as he followed Christ, which are these apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs or joint heirs as husband and wife and of the same body. And that's so important. I'm going to start listing this out next week. But notice how this is stated here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Amen. And it says, it doesn't say of the same body, does it? Uh-uh. It says, and of the same body. It's another layer. See, these are layers. This isn't talking about just one thing. It's talking about layers here. So you see how that breaks that out? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That the Gentiles should be of the same body. That the Gentiles should be partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen. Those are three separate individual things. And yes, they are. Now, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. We're hearing a lot about grace here. Dispensation of the grace of God given to him for us. And this is the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of the power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And once again, it's to the saints at Ephesus, the Gentiles, the way that he starts this little section. That's who he's speaking to, that he would preach to these saints that have ye heard, and when ye read, amen, you'll understand my revelation in the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God. And I love this because this sets it out that there is no doubt, brothers and sisters, it all begins if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. And this revelation that Paul has here is the plan of God. It's the purpose of the grace of God, which we read about back in chapter 1. The purpose of his grace. Amen. So we have the plan of God, the purpose of his grace, the provision. Oh, isn't that marvelous? He's provided everything. Amen. And the provision, praise God, is the grace. Praise the Lord. But then he didn't just leave us hanging with a plan, and he didn't leave us hanging again with just purpose and provisions and say, okay, now get it done. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's not how it works. The last P, the power. And he's given us the Holy Ghost to perform it all. That's the power. Hallelujah. And this is where we're at tonight, is thanking God for this absolute provision of all grace that was given to the Apostle Paul. And that's what this is. This dispensation is all grace. That's why Paul was the one that said, and he has given to us all grace. And in giving us all grace, we have all sufficiency for all things. Amen. We have it always. Praise the Lord. To superabound to every good work. Praise the Lord. So in that, there's no wiggle room for losing. There's no wiggle room that you can't. That's why by the grace of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is this perfect plan, purpose, provision, backed by all the power of his resurrection. Amen? His very power, the power of his might to perform it all. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're back to that precious way we started off. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This is the fountain. It's this fountain of all grace. Praise God. And here we go. And will we believe it? Will we apprehend it? It's apprehended us. Thanks be to God. It's all there. Amen. And I thank the Lord how he tells us it was all there in beginning in Christ. Amen. We've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Born of God, he tells us that we're born Lord of all. So I have every bit of it in me. So not only did I have it in him in ages past, thanks be to God in being born of God. And here I am, the manifestation of this, what he knew was in him in ages past. Here I am. And he lives in me. And thanks be to God, I'm born of God, Lord of all. Not of some, not of part, not of kind of all. He does this over and over and over with us. And when will we believe him? Praise God. Well, I'm praying we just continue to believe him all the time. No writer of the Word of God uses the word grace nearly as many times as the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. You find the word grace 170 times in the entire Bible. 170. 124 times in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul uses the word grace 100 times. 100. 100 is the number of completion. Isn't that just fabulous? I just love that. 100 times completion. The only thing that'll ever complete your life is grace. Amen. The only thing you're ever complete in, and you are complete in, is grace. Praise the Lord. So we thank God that it's only grace that completes us, matures us, grows us up, fills us with all the fullness of God, causes us to be a bride that is fully prepared and ready and of age for the Lamb. And as Paul said to these saints at Ephesus, the very last thing he said in Acts 20:32 to those elders, I commend you to the word of his grace. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, oh my, and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. So it always points to the one thing, and that is all grace. Now, here in chapter 2, we begin by Paul saying, have ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me for you? What that means is, what was given to him, this dispensation, means it was given the office of administrator. He was given to be the manager. He was given to be the overseer of the grace of God to us. That's what he was given. Paul's gospel is the authority in the word and the word on the grace of God. He was chosen, brothers and sisters, to manage even the distribution of it to us, all by grace. And this grace, as we will continue to rejoice in, is the source, it's the substance of all the unsearchable riches that will be described in the greatest of detail, in the height of its glory, in this precious little teeny third chapter. And we will find that it is all and only by and from the grace of God with us. Thank you, Lord. There's just a praise to his grace that swells in my heart. I thank God. I'm resting more than I've ever rested in my life. And as we go on with the Lord, I believe that's such a barometric indicator. Are you resting? Or are you wrestling? Are you resting or are you fretting? Are you resting in that, you know, Brother Hill used to say, that rocking chair of grace. Are you just rocking in it? And just enjoying it for everything. Everything and everything and everything. Now, the height of his grace was made known to Paul, as we started out, by revelation, by making known the mystery unto him. That it says, when we read of it, we too. And what are we going to understand? We're going to understand Paul's knowledge of the mystery. Isn't that interesting? As it always goes back, and he refers to my knowledge of it, my revelation of it, my understanding of it. Paul's not an egomaniac. He's not. He's inspired and testifying of the Holy Ghost. You need to really listen to this, because you can get off so quickly. And talking about getting off, meaning in the wrong direction or the different things of the flesh, Paul was the master of that. He was more fleshly than anybody. He was the chiefest sinner. If anybody knows how subtle the flesh is and how it can come in and attack you at any angle, truly, it was the Apostle Paul. He could testify of this. And I believe it was a battle so sweetly in his life. It wasn't just met at that road, on that road to Damascus, and he never had an issue with it again. My goodness, every time he writes in here, he's going, Romans, all of it, through there. Oh, wretched man that I am. You can see him at the end of chapter 7. He says, oh, I thank the Lord. He finally gets it, because he said, oh man, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. He's just a total mess, because he's been trying to do it in his own strength. And then he gets to that last, is chapter 7, and he says, oh, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. He's really revealed this to me finally. With the mind, with the inner man, I serve the law. It's gorgeous. Praise God, because of Christ in him. That wasn't because he was some spiritual icon that was so different than any other Christian. No. He understood who he was in Christ. And he's professing to us by the Holy Ghost and testifying. That's who you are. That's who all of us are. But he says, I thank the Lord with the mind, I serve the law. And then he says, I thank the Lord with the flesh, I serve sin. Oh, could you just imagine how the devil just, ugh. Amen. But then how wonderful how the Lord took him even to the place in Corinthians where he was again asking the Lord, Lord, I need you to remove this thorn from my flesh. All right? So we know that when the Bible talks about flesh, it's speaking of weakness and the sin in the flesh. So there was an issue, a problem. And we heard Paul testify over and over of such sweet victories and all of the things about the weakness of his flesh, whether it was his eyesight, whether it was things that would happen to him with a snake biting him, getting sick, whether they stoned him, beat him, shipwrecked, tired, all these different things. Paul was always looking to the Lord to help him. Not that that wasn't a trial for him, but we know that this was something that was deep with him. He knew, he said, Lord, I need you to take this from me. Never heard him really ever testify of something so specific. Lord, I need you to get this out of me. And you know that the heart that he was coming to the Lord with was something sincere. Lord, I can't be the Christian that I need to be with this tempting in my flesh. And you know how the Lord dealt with him. He said, now, Paul, let me tell you something. If I take that out of you, if I would ever allow you to think that your flesh has been made perfect, son, you would be puffed up. With the revelation of everything that I've shown to you, son, you would be magnified and not me. I'd turn you from the grace that's been your keeper to you thinking somehow that it was your flesh that finally made you perfect. Oh, and then Paul said, oh, once again, I glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, the power of Christ rests upon me. You talk about those enlightened moments where it's just, oh, thank you, Lord. Here I was trying to wrestle with and fight with something that would have defeated my life. Try to change something in my own strength or focus on it, thinking that's godliness when you had me all the time. Don't you love the grace of God? And if we're going to win him, we're going to magnify the grace of God. And you have to just receive it, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be when you're feeling strong. It's not. It's not when you're going to be hitting it out of the park. It's going to be when you're in the slump of slumps. That's when he's magnified. Now, these saints, brothers and sisters, they needed to know Paul's knowledge of the mystery. Not what they thought it was. Not what they thought that. And that's this, the interpretations that come out of this chapter. It's so sad. Again, just man in his mind trying to just allow the enemy, just that we go in our own strength to settle these things. We're going to, thanks be to God, the Spirit's going to reveal and set us in this next few weeks if he tarry. These Ephesians obviously did not have the understanding. He even starts out, have you heard of it? That's the truth. And how many people do you really think have heard this? Do you understand that you can read something, but have you heard it? Has the Spirit ministered it to you? Come on now. You understand this. Right there reveals all grace. They did not have this revealed at this time, but it must be made known. And lived, brothers and sisters, in the fullness of faith as our first love, in order for a Christian to win Christ, to possess and lay hold of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is going right after him. This is to win Christ. This is God's best. See, brothers and sisters, when we lay hold of all grace, which Paul was coming forth with, that's when you'll truly understand and truly fight the good fight of faith and fight it as the Apostle Paul, that you would want to be found only having his righteousness. And not the righteousness of man, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith. And brothers and sisters, it's grace. That's what that is. Being found only having his righteousness is all grace. It's nothing of us. It's nothing of the works of the law. That's not it. That's what Paul said. That's not where I want to be found one bit. If you want the fullness of his glory in our lives, brothers and sisters, it must be built in completion, which only comes from the grace of God. And only the gospel of Paul is exactly that. Paul's revelation, brothers and sisters, is for that purpose, to bring forth a wife for the Lamb of God. And that is what was hidden. That is what was hidden. Yes, the only thing that was not yet revealed in this regard was the bridal message. We'll touch into next week. Many will say, well, this was actually just speaking that now Gentiles could be saved. Let me tell you something. The very first people that were ever saved were Gentiles. We didn't even get a Jew until God started dealing with Abraham. You understand that, right? Praise the Lord. And it's always been by the blood. Amen. Did anybody save themselves from their own acts of righteousness? From the very beginning, Abel, bring me the lamb. From the very beginning, Cain tried to bring him the works of his hands, the sweat on his brow. It was an abomination at the very beginning. It was always the grace of God. It was always the blood of the lamb. Amen. And the Gentiles were the very first ones saved. And by the way, this isn't speaking, as this whole letter is not to Gentiles, it's to saved Gentiles, and specifically the saved Gentiles of the Ephesians. Amen. Don't be confused. There's another layer to this that ones will get off into, but that's why breaking out those three things, the joint heirship, that you be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers. Find these things and you'll see. You know this, praise the Lord. But by the grace of God, we know it even better. Thank you, Lord. Brighter and more of the fullness of its glory. Now, that is why we go over and over this. That is why, brothers and sisters, we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The Word of God even tells us that the foundation's been laid. We don't go back and relay it. You go on. You build upon. Paul says, I'm the master builder. You know, now go build and be aware how you're building thereupon. Amen. So we thank God. This is where we're at. By the grace of God, this is what's going on. This is why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. This is why Paul tells Timothy, consider, Timothy, what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. This is why in Colossians, just turn over there, chapter 1, we go over and over and over this. Let it just sing in your heart. Let it be the song of songs to you and in you. But in Colossians 1, this is why Paul says in verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation. There's that word again. He's the administrator of this. He is the domestic of it. He is the manager of it. Hallelujah. This is what was given to Paul. Why can't we take what the Word of God says and believe it? I'm not worshiping Paul in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't say that. But it says really pay attention to what he was given. And really follow the Lord as he is telling you how he followed the Lord. He was given the mystery that was revealed to him, and it was for us. So he has this treasure of treasures, and the Lord is saying, you better listen to what the Holy Ghost wrote through the hand of that man. And you better hone in and don't veer from it. But it's amazing, and I remember Brother Hill saying this many times. There'd be pastors and preachers getting up there and say, oh, if the Apostle Paul lived at this time, I'd teach him a few things. Let me tell you something. No, you wouldn't. And that is, that's just plain stupid. And I thank God I am at least a fool enough and simple enough. I thank the Lord. You told me this is the one. This is the one you mark. Has he followed Christ? And thanks be to God, everything, because of the grace of God that was with him, gave glory to Jesus. Always gave glory to Jesus. Everybody around him wanted to be a squirrel. They did. They were trying to get into this, and he, this is it. Peter, how many times do I have to hit you upside the head, son? I don't care if your name's Peter. I don't care if your name's Barnabas. I don't care if you've been in this longer than me. Let me tell you something. This given to me, you preach any other gospel, or I come out here and preach any other gospel, let us be accursed. And when you're not preaching this gospel, even if you knew this gospel and you preach this gospel and you're starting to vary off in legality and things like that, I, by the grace of God, will say, who hath bewitched you? I thank the Lord for the grace of God that is with us. And that's what it is. But here he says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, once again, which is given to me for you. You either receive the word of God as the word of God or you don't. How could I not receive how simple this is? What was given to Paul was for me. Yes. And what was it given for him to give to me? To fulfill the word of God. There's the complete. That's what that means. It was to complete Jesus. And it just is so beautifully, amazingly, all glorious in the greatest of mercy that Jesus, in what he gave to Paul for me, is for me to receive to complete him. I sit there and go, oh my goodness, Lord. And that's the bride for the bridegroom. That's Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, not taking the throne as God until he has his wife. And that appointed time, once again, is the only thing that Jesus does not know, when the Father will tell him, son, go get your bride. That's why it says so sweetly that the friends of the bridegroom await the bridegroom's voice. This is so incredible. Once again, is the word of God true to you? Amen. It is. It's true, but is it true to you? More than anything. And it is. It is. By his grace, it is. And it quickens us and awakens us over and over and over. Says brother prayed. We can sure get bogged down quick. Bogged down. But his grace is greater. It much more abounds. So he says here, it's given to you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Same letter that we're reading in to the Ephesians, it's the same intent. It's the same purpose. It's the same mystery. It's the same revealing to his saints. This is not something new that was being revealed to the world. This wasn't for the world. This was for the people of God. So now you go right back to Genesis 24 with the bride for Isaac. Yes, yes, yes. Abraham knew his son needed a wife. But where they were in Canaan, they were all ungodly. That wasn't going to happen there. It wasn't, that wife was not going to come for Isaac out of the world. So that's why Abraham sent his servant all the way back to his people, his kindred, to take out from his people a wife for his son. Amen. He sent the servant to go minister the proposal. He sent the Holy Ghost to go minister to his people the proposal. It's just perfect. It's just absolutely beautifully. It doesn't have, it's just one. So it was the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Isn't that something? Yes. And here's the assurance to us in verse 27. To whom God would make known. And here we are. And who made it known to us? God did. You didn't earn it and I didn't either. But God made it known to us, didn't it, brother? Brought us in here from everywhere. And God made it known. All right. Now, I said here, do you understand this? I say, thank the Lord, we understand this. I'm trusting him with you. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot be in the bride of Christ without knowing Paul's gospel. You cannot. You cannot be in the bride of Christ without knowing Paul's gospel. And without possessing a first love of our life for it. That's the truth. Not just knowing it, but possessing it in first love. That it's the love of our life. There isn't anything that compares. Everything that flows after that is just after that. And thank the Lord, but I'm living for one purpose. By the grace of God, I'm the readied wife for the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. That's our life. Hallelujah. That is why the Ephesian saints, they needed to know this. And brothers and sisters, listen to this. You can't have faith in something you don't know about. You can't have faith in something you don't know about. You can't. It's impossible. You can't have faith in something you have not heard. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you have not heard this gospel, if you are not hearing this gospel, if you're not availing your ear to hear this gospel, if you're not availing to hear this gospel in your ear and continuing on in it, you cannot be in the bride of Christ. Now, do you see why that bridal message is imperative? And that is why Paul said, preach no other gospel. That's why, by the grace of God, this is what is heard over and over. Thank you, Jesus, in this place. That is why, when one say, don't you think that you don't have to know this message and you could still be in the bride? No. No, no, no. That's unscriptural. And more importantly, that's poison. That's poison for you to say, and that's poison for someone to hear. See, that's just the enemy doing those things. Trying to get you off of what the Word of God says And what makes you feel that that would be okay? I remember that woman that came into Polly's mom's house and tried to deal with her stepdad about the Holy Ghost. And he wanted to be filled and wanted to tarry in different things to receive the Holy Ghost and wasn't receiving the Holy Ghost. And that woman came in there, a Christian woman. Oh, you have the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll just get your prayer language later. That's a lie. That's poison. And you don't put up with that stuff. You don't. Where does it end? It never does end. That leaven continues to leaven and to leaven and to leaven and to leaven till you know what? As Brother Hill said, Ichabod gets over the door. God has fully departed. Now, here is what and who milk is for. And this is important. I know we're staying a little bit longer tonight. But I just reminded you what time it was. You'd had no idea, did you? Ha, 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 ha. Okay. Forget I reminded you. Now, here is who his milk is for. In Hebrews 5, verse 13. But everyone that uses milk is unskilled, unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. That word unskillful means ignorant. Ignorant in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. So this is speaking of a Christian. This is a Christian that's using, clinging to, continues to go back to milk. We know other examples in the word of God where Paul came into those saints in Corinth and he said, you have returned to milk. I fed you with meat. You should be teaching the meat, but you've reverted to the milk. And now I have to teach you back with milk because you know what? You go back and keep doing that, you'll forget what the meat was all about. So this is who the milk is for. This is the ones. The ones that use milk are ignorant in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That even is an infant. That's even less than the technon. That's a Greek word for those that know it. That means child. But strong meat belongs to who? To them that are of full age. That belongs, they've bonded to it. That's all they'll stand for. That's all they want. That's all they fellowship in. And we do need to awaken in this, saints, all of us. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who want milk are children and ignorant in the word of righteousness. And I want you to think about that ignorant in righteousness. Ignorant in knowing the meaning of being found only having his righteousness. That's the ignorance. That's the biggest ignorance that ones that stay in milk. It's the truth. Ones that stay in milk will still always gravitate back to the law or works for righteousness. It just will, because they don't feast on the strong meat from the Apostle Paul, which is all grace. And what happens when you yield your ear or continue to yield your ear back to milk is you will wrestle with the grace of God. You will wrestle with it. It will manifest itself in being judgmental. It will manifest itself in being critical. It will manifest itself in always gravitating back to being legal. And the word of God says, put away your childish ways. Desire the strong meat. We are called to be the fully sons of God. Brothers and sisters, should we not honor the Father? Where's our fellowship? Amen. Where is our fellowship? God help us. And a little get in there. And it'll mess you up. We've come too far to be tossed to and fro and be up and down and to go on to our, oh, woe is me. Yeah, woe is you, because you don't adhere. He's given us this. Stand for it. Fight for it. Be very mindful what you hear. I love you. By the grace of God, stand, be dismissed.